Welcome to Torah Dimecha Parsha. My name is Adina Schmidman. We find ourselves in frightening and challenging times. May our learning be a schus for the safe and speedy return of our captives, for the healing of our wounded, the safety of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and helped to protect all those fighting on the front lines. And now for this week's Parsha.
Welcome to Torah Dimecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we will be studying Parshas Bereishis. The Torah is truly the story of our lives, and we start it with the beginning of all, Bereishis. And in the story of Bereishis, we discover something so powerful about what it means to be a Tzelem Elokim, someone created in the image of God in Hashem's world. It begins, of course, with creation. With the creation of the entire world, the 10 sayings through which Hashem brought the entire universe into existence, in 6 days creating all of nature, culminating, of course, with the creation of man, Adam, the forming of Chava, the placing them into Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, the day of Shabbos, and the two terrible world-altering sins, the shocking and catastrophic story of the eating of Eitz Hadas and the ensuing consequences and results, and the excruciating, painful story of the first murder when Cain, jealous of his brother Hevel, ended his life so violently. The Parsha concludes with the 10 generations that will lead finally to the next founder of the world, Noach, who along with his family will survive the flood of Parshas Noach and rebuild the world. Those final chapters of the first Parsha of the Torah demonstrate the dangerous potential we have as people to go off plan, off mission, to tragically fall short of what we can be. But before that happens, the Torah gives us a vision of what the world could be like, of what we could be like, and the lofty potential Hashem would like us to come back to and remember again and again with the reading of this Parsha. Let's understand. There are two discussions, both in chapter 2 of Bereishis, that provide us with amazing insight into mankind, the world we inhabit, and our ultimate mission. The first is Shabbos. In the second chapter of Bereishis, we learn about Shabbos. In these verses, the Mefarshim learn fundamental ideas, foundations our world stands on. The first idea is found at the very beginning of the second chapter of Bereishis. While we say this every week at Kiddush, it actually should stop us in our tracks. Verse 1. Vayechulu hashamayim v'aretz v'chol tva'am, the heavens and the earth were finished and all their hosts. And then, verse 2, Vayechal Elokim bayom hashvi'i melachto asher asah, Hashem completed on the seventh day his work that he had done. And this, of course, is the problem. What is the meaning of this? Did Hashem make the world in 6 days or seven? Did Hashem complete the world on the seventh day? So problematic is this verse that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah that in the days of Talmai, when our 70 sages were required to translate the Torah into Greek and made a few changes because they were afraid it would be misunderstood, this verse, this pasuk, was one of the ones they changed. And they actually wrote this verse as Hashem finished on the sixth day and rested on the seventh day. So how to deal with this verse, Vayichal Elokim bayom hashvi'i melachto asher asah? Our commentaries, our mefarshim, offer many ways of looking at this. Rashi quotes Rabbi Shimon from Medrash Rabbah, who explains, human beings cannot be precise in our time. It is impossible to know exactly when one day ends and the next begins. Only Hashem has the ability to end exactly like a hair's breadth, exactly on the sixth day. From our imprecise calculations would actually seem to be the seventh day. The Bechor Shor says, we only know something is finished when the work stops. It was only on the Shabbos day of rest that it became clear that this amazing world with all its spectacular and detailed beauty was truly, finally complete. The Rashbam and the Torah and Machzor Vitri all speak about a Targum Yerushalmi that translates the word Vayichal differently, not as he completed, but that he desired, as in Shmuel Beis, Vatechal David, David HaMelech pined for Avshalom. So that this verse comes to mean, on Shabbos, when the world was complete, Hashem, so to speak, looked at his world and all of his work and was pleased and desired it, loved it, and wanted it. Which is why we say in our Amida prayer on Shabbos morning, Chemdas Yamim Oso Karasa, Shabbos is a day of desire, you called it. And there is another medrash that translates the word Vayichal as in Kalila Va'atara, like a crown. Hashem crowned the seventh day as paramount and holy and king, so to speak, over the rest of the week. But there is another medrash, and Rashi quotes it in his Davar Acher, and it is this: Ma ha'olam hayachaser menucha, basa Shabbos, basa menucha. What was the world missing? It was missing menucha, rest. And this is what Shabbos completes in our world for us. And when menucha is added, our world is complete. In fact, the Medrash compares the addition of Shabbos to the world to a chuppah that has been designed and built and decorated. What is it missing? It is missing the bride. When the bride enters, the world is complete. So too, the day of Shabbos. Shabbos, the transformation that we live every week as we re-experience the world going from creation, toil, building, and frenzy to the peace. That is Shabbos, that beautiful tranquility that enters our home as we light our candles. We understand the menucha that Shabbos provides for the world. But the bride under the chuppah, the actual point of it all? Let's go deeper. Why is Shabbos the kala, the bride, and how does it complete the world? The Or HaChaim references another verse. In Shemos chapter 31, verse 17, Beini uvein b'nei Yisrael oshi la'olam, ki sheshes yamim asa Hashem es ha-shamayim ve'es ha'aretz uvayom ha-shvi'i shavas vayinafash. Between me and between b'nei Yisrael, Hashem says, Shabbos is an everlasting sign that in 6 days Hashem made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work. Vayina fash, some translated as, and he rested. But the Or HaChaim explains that Shabbos provides the nefesh, the soul, the life source to the world. Of course it does. Shabbos reminds us that this is Hashem's world, and so it connects us every week back to him. A world disconnected from God is like a chuppah that is missing one detail, the bride herself. Rav Hirsch, in his beautiful explanation of Shabbos, speaks of the kinds of work that are forbidden on Shabbos. It is creative work, human work, work that allows us to live the charade that we own this world, that we are ultimately responsible for success in this world. On Shabbos, we reconnect to our God, to the true owner of the world, to our life source, and to the soul of the world, and remind ourselves this is not our world, it is God's world. We only work here. Because it is when we forget this truth, when we think that I need to be capable of solving every problem and fixing everything that is wrong in this world, that we begin to feel so stressed and flustered and anxious. We know how limited we are. We are not ultimately responsible for results in this world. As Rabbi Tarfon teaches in chapter 2 of Pirkei Avos, Lo alecha hamlacha ligmar, it is not on you to finish the job. We must only do our best. And this provides us with true menucha, not only on Shabbos, but it lasts the entire week. This is one foundational truth that Bereishis teaches us about our world and about our reality. And thus, the existence of Shabbos, more, the keeping of Shabbos, is the true completion of the world. It is what makes this world whole. Why? Because keeping Shabbos connects this world to its maker, to our God. Shabbos reminds us that as Atzelem Elokim, we are always connected to and may always connect to Hashem, that he is here with us all the time. What menucha, peace of mind, that provides. But that is only part one, because a few psukim later, the Torah describes in detail the creation of man. In verse 7, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'adam afar min ha'adama, vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. Hashem then formed the man, dust from the ground, and he blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And so man became a living soul. And in verse 8, Vayita Hashem Elokim gan ba'eden mikedem, vayasem sham es ha'adam asher yatzar. Hashem planted a garden in Eden to the east, and there he placed the man he had formed. And then, a couple of psukim later, verses later, in verse 15, pasuk tesvav, Vayikach Hashem Elokim es ha'adam, vayanichehu began Eden, la'avda ulishamra. And Hashem took the man, and he placed him in the garden of Eden to work it and guard it. The question is, wasn't Adam already in Gan Eden? Hadn't Hashem just placed him there just a few psukim back? Why does Hashem need to take Adam in this pasuk and put him into Gan Eden? Rashi cites the rabbis of the Medrash that when the pasuk uses the word "and he took," it actually means Hashem convinced Adam, persuaded him to enter. It is possible that the earlier verse is telling us where Adam would be, but this pasuk tells us how he got there. The truth is, every time this language of taking is used in reference to a human being in the Torah, Rashi always comments that it is not to be taken literally, but rather with words. Why? Because of the fundamental truth that we all know. People cannot be taken. Animals can be taken, things can be taken, people cannot. What I also found fascinating is what the Maharal, Rabbi Yehuda Lo of Prague, comments on this in his Sefer the Gor Aryeh. He says that the reason is, while you can take someone's body and put it somewhere, you cannot take his mind, his attitude, his intent. The only way to take someone's mind is to convince them with words. So through the lens of Rashi, we can now understand these verses. This is the creation of the human being. And he is experiencing his first moments of life in this world. And in these first moments, he is being defined as a thinking and choosing human being. Someone who is not forced, but chooses. Gan Eden is ready and prepared and is his ultimate destination. But if he is to get there, he must, of his own volition, walk in on his own two feet. He is not to be born in Gan Eden, neither does God force him there. Hashem speaks to him and lets him choose. These two thoughts together form Sefer Bereishis. On the one hand, we never forget that we are in Hashem's world, that ultimately success and failure is in his hands, and that we are connected to him. But also that we have absolute free will. The entire book of Bereishis that we begin with this parsha is a book of bechira, choice. Everybody chooses. Indeed, Adam and Chava made choices. Cain made a choice. But also Noah will make a choice. Avraham will make a choice. Sarah will make a choice. Lot and Hagar will make choices. Yaakov will make choices, and so will Esav. The Shvatim will make choices. And so will Yosef. And as we will see in our first parsha, these choices matter. These choices have consequences that will have repercussions and reverberations that will last for eternity. So Shabbos and Bechira, what an empowering dual lesson to begin our Torah with. That we have absolute power to make choices in our life. And even when it's Hashem, and even when it's about the Garden of Eden, no one is going to force you. No one can force you to live your best life. You need to walk into that garden yourself. And if we have absolute power over the choices we make, then the next lesson is that these choices matter tremendously. After all, we are making these choices as a Tzelem Elokim in Hashem's world. Thank you for learning together.